Hi guys, I am coming to you again from my home, which is really nice. It is not a faraway land or an airplane or something like that. I had a mega trip. I wrote about my mega trip. I want to talk about the mega trip in just a moment, but it's a little bit hard to get started today without talking about the Red Cross. Now, I wrote about the Red Cross blood donation service yesterday, and this has been a massive media event in Australia. It's the largest ever leak of personal data we've had down here. But I thought I'd give you just a bit more of an explanation here on video because it sort of conveys sentiment and emotion a bit better than what text does sometimes. So on Tuesday morning, someone contacted me, Tuesday morning my time, and this was via Twitter, an anonymous account insofar as it didn't have a name or an identifiable avatar, so business as usual in terms of people contacting me on Twitter. And the guy said, "Hey, I've got some data for you, possibly for Have I Been Pwned?" And I went, "Okay, let's see what it is." And he sent me a snippet of the data, which was my data, and it was my date of birth, my phone number, and it was from the Red Cross blood donation service. I had donated a few years ago and provided my data, my correct data, and that was it. So he sent over the data breach. I went through it. It looked very legitimate, not just my data, my wife's data as well. She is a very good citizen and had donated 9 times, and she had all of her personal info in there, as well as things like her blood type as well. So she's got a fairly unusual sort of blood type that was in there, and clearly it was legitimate. So I got in touch with AusCert down here, and AusCert I'd spent a bit of time with in the past. I've spoken at their event earlier this year, and they were just fantastic. And I really hope that after the dust settles on this, we can write a little bit about how to do responsible disclosure and how organisations should respond in the event of when this happens. But AusCert really helped the Red Cross through this process, and it's always going to be a difficult process, right? I mean, imagine the Red Cross. They're there doing their blood thing. I mean, this is obviously the blood donation component of it, and that's what they do, and they don't really live in this world of data breaches and all the rest of these odd things that many of you are quite familiar with. And then someone pops up and says, "Hey, your entire database of donors with nearly 1.3 million records is on the internet and it's public." And they were mortified, which you'd expect, right? I mean, this was a massive shock to them. And this is not their world. So here you've got AusCert trying to explain to the Red Cross not just what's happened, but who I am as well. Because imagine their perspective when AusCert's like, "Yeah, there's this guy who has like billions of records in a publicly searchable database." Like, you can imagine how their reaction would be. So AusCert did a really good job of managing expectations. Ultimately, the Red Cross did very transparently disclose everything to the public. They had a press release yesterday. Their CEO stood up and was enormously apologetic, which is a good sign. There was none of this usual crap we often see, which is, "Oh yeah, you've lost all your personal data, but don't worry, your credit card's okay." It wasn't that. So I'm happy about that. The only point of contention that anyone seems to have raised with their messaging was the Red Cross saying that there is no medical information exposed. And I suspect this is a definition problem because people have said, "Hey, Red Cross has said no medical information exposed," and yet Troy is saying that there is blood types in there and there is eligibility questions and answers, including whether or not you've had at-risk sexual activity. Now, I don't know if by the strict definition that is medical information or not, particularly the blood type, but there is obviously a public expectation that it is. And I think part of the lesson out of this is that regardless of how you define things, you've got to be conscious of what the public defines them as. So I think that they probably could have been a bit clearer on that front, but I'm conscious of how much they've had to scramble to make all this work as well. So if that's the worst of their miscommunication, then I think on balance they've done a pretty good job. Now, getting back to how this was exposed, and it's all written up in the blog post, I'll link to in the notes here. Someone literally took a MySQL dump of the entire database and put it on a publicly facing web server. And that is all. That is most of it. They actually put it on on a web server that was accessible via IP, the guy that discovered it before he contacted me was simply just scanning IP address ranges. It's like, hey, here's an IP address. Let's see if there's anything open on port 80. Yes, there is. Let's see if there's directory listing enabled. Yes, there is. Let's see if there are any files with an extension of .sql. Hey, look at this. And that's like the entire process. And it's automated, and he just sets the thing going, and he goes and does whatever he does while it runs, I don't know, and then sees what's found. So this is just such a simple, simple, simple thing. We have since seen a confirmation of who actually lost the data as well, because it was not the Red Cross themselves. They have a partner, and they've said from the outset, we have a partner, partner lost the data. We'll take accountability for the incident, which is the right thing for them to do, but it was a partner. And we've since seen news reports of a company called Precedent who had lost the data. So not going to be a real good time for Precedent, because they have left the Red Cross in an awfully uncomfortable situation. There are obviously many upset Aussies. The Red Cross believes it's 550,000 people. I've permanently deleted the data, so I have no way of verifying that myself. We really now have to defer to them and let them go through their processes. Last thing I'll touch on before I move on. A few people have said I should have loaded this data into Have I Been Pwned? And in fact, what I decided to do is not load it and permanently delete my copy. This is not entirely unprecedented. I did the same thing with the VTEC data breach, albeit retrospectively. I deleted it from Have I Been Pwned, and I deleted permanently all of my copies of it. And the reason in both cases is that those incidents were containable. And they were containable in that we had a pretty high degree of confidence who had the data. So in VTEC's case, it was the person who sucked it out of the system. It was the motherboard, the reporting or news site, and myself. And in the Red Cross situation, it was the guy who pulled the data and myself. Now, I contacted him and asked him if he would be happy to delete it, which he complied with. He said he complied with. He also said, you've got to take me at my word, which is very true. So if I was to delete the data as well, the Red Cross would have a fairly high degree of confidence that they could stand up there and say that it had been cleaned up. Certainly every copy they knew of had been cleaned up. If I loaded the data and Have I Been Pwned, they couldn't say that. Now, that might seem like a minor thing, and again, folks that are watching this live more in this world of understanding how data breaches work, understanding how Have I Been Pwned works. But imagine what it's like for hundreds of thousands of Aussies who would not have that sort of same degree of certainty that their data had been cleaned up, and certainly have no idea of what Have I Been Pwned is. Most people have enough trouble pronouncing it, let alone understanding what it actually does. So it just made it much, much easier to give people assurance that everything that could possibly be cleaned up had been cleaned up. And particularly because the Red Cross gave a commitment that they would notify every single person who was impacted, Have I Been Pwned didn't really have as much of a role to play. I mean, it's a great data breach notification service. The one gap someone raised, and I do appreciate this, the one gap was that domain subscribers would not see who had accounts on their domain that had been exposed in the breach. And that's a fair point. I guess offsetting that is that if the data had indeed been cleaned up and it didn't go anywhere else, and honestly, that to the best of my knowledge is the case, then that may not be particularly relevant anyway. Look, regardless, I've gone on about this for quite a bit, but it has been a massive story. There is a blog post with everything in it that I'll link to. And if anyone has any questions or comments on that, you can jump over there. Moving on, I did a post on Monday about my travel. And if you've been watching these update videos, I did the last one from a plane. I did the one before that in London next to Tower Bridge, which was actually really, really pretty. And the one before that I did in Edinburgh. Also quite pretty, actually. So I've been all over the place, and it has been really chaotic, but I was really conscious that when I travel, and in fairness, when any of us travel or when any of us then take photos and share them on social media, we pick the best bits. We pick the things that we think people would like to see, and we pick things that portray the image that we want to share with people. And I get that. Like, that's just a normal human nature thing, but it also creates a perception that it's all roses, right? That everything is just awesome all the time. And it's not. It was a really, really hard trip. There were some moments there that were quite depressing. There were many, many very lonely moments. When my son's having his birthday party and my family's there and I'm on the other side of the world, spending some of that time in a pretty shitty hotel as well, without even a desk to work on. Like that sort of stuff is kind of depressing and lonely. I was massively tired for a lot of the time. I was missing a lot of sleep. Not from jet lag, but because I'd start early, I'd go till the end of the day and then get a plane to somewhere else and then arrive really late and have to figure out how to get to the hotel. And it was just massively draining. So, look, I think that's a worthwhile read if you want to know what goes into these trips. It's like an 11,500 word blog post, so maybe take a couple of bites out of it. Look, it was a really big thing. I've had some almost entirely positive feedback from it. There has been the very rare exception, as there always is, where people seem to have glossed over all the hard bits and gone, "Yeah, but you had a nice seat on the plane." So, well, that was great for that 24 hours, each way, and then the rest of it was an absolute pain in the ass, quite literally sometimes. So that's that one. Have a look at that. Other things that are going on. So I have been tweeting a little bit about having chucked all of these out, or at least unplugged them. This is no longer plugged in, which makes me really happy. And I've been writing this up, but I'll show you what I've got over here. What I've now done is I've got Ubiquiti stuff everywhere. And consequently, I've got little things like this all over the house. Well, I've got these little discs all over the house, which is the wireless access points. And then in this case, I've got one of these Ubiquiti Unify switches. So I'm writing all of this up, and the Red Cross thing just sort of threw a big spanner in the works in terms of my schedule for that. But I will try and get that done and out next week because the Ubiquiti gear is freaking awesome. I am so happy with it. Everything just worked super easy. It's rock solid. And wait till you see the dashboards. You will want this just for the dashboards. And I know there may not be a whole lot of use in the dashboards, but the graphs are so shiny. And actually, look, in fairness, there is use. So you get a lot more visibility about what individual clients are doing. You get a lot more information about who's on your network, what they're downloading, even things like signal strength on each device, and just some really, really cool stuff. So that's Ubiquiti. I'll try and get that out this week. Something else next week. Something else that I did this week as well is I did my Security Sense column, and I'm just looking at what I called it. I called it "The Web is Held Together with Sticky Tape." Now, I've been thinking about this a bit more lately, and particularly after the massive, massive DDoS from IoT things last week, it just kind of hits home even more how fragile everything is. And I sort of wrote about, look, this is the kind of thing which we never saw coming when we designed the web. I mean, imagine back in the day, you're working on the HTTP spec, and it's like, well, shit, maybe one day our webcams are going to try and take down our DNS resolvers, and it's just going to crash everything. Like, this was just never part of the plan. And we have made HTTP stretch so far, HTTP and HTML, and we just continually tape over all the weaknesses. And I mentioned things like, HTTP is stateless, so we have to use cookies to persist authenticated sessions. But cookies get sent automatically, so we've got cross-site request forgery. So we come up with these tokens, and we put the tokens in for anti-forgery tokens. But we have to put them in cookies and forms. And then we're worried about losing the token, so we have to use HTTPS, because it could be, and it just, like, it goes on and on and on. And that column is always kind of short, like I aim for about 500 or 600 words. But there's a narrative in here which I think I could go on for, or go on with for a very, very long time about everything that we've used to hack around everything else, which is kind of broken. And it just increasingly worries me with the web that there are so many moving parts, many of them there just to try and stop the other parts from breaking, that we're getting ourselves into a real mess. There was a story actually just a couple of days ago from Smashing Mag, who screwed up their HPKP, their HTTP public key pinning. And they screwed it up such that they ultimately started issuing a certificate which clients weren't expecting, and it just broke everything outright. And we've got key pinning because we can't necessarily trust the CAs to always issue certificates to the right people. We've got things like DigiNotar that demonstrated that. I have broken my site, my Have I Been Pwned site, with content security policies before, CSPs. And we've got CSPs because we don't trust sites not to have cross-site scripting risks. So we build this CSP thing, and then that breaks other stuff. In my case, because in fact, I broke it twice because of two buggy browser implementations, one with Safari and one with Chrome. I still need to write the Chrome one as well. I will write that up. They've still got a bug in there that renders part of their CSP implementation useless. So I think you see the point. Like, the whole thing is just very delicately held together. And inevitably, we're going to see even more of this sort of stuff, which is kind of worrying, kind of exciting as well, because we just never know what we're going to see, right? Last thing. So I have got a sponsor on this week, which is now mostly past because I am recording this a day late due to the Red Cross stuff. Sponsor is Barclay. Barclay have a security awareness playbook, which is available for free. There is a link on the top of my blog in the little sponsor panel there. I've filled up those sponsorship spots all the way until the middle of December, I think until just after the middle of December. And I've started to already sell out into January. I suspect Christmas, not as many people are keen on being there, but it's nice to see people coming back and saying, yes, we want to do it again. So certainly the January slot is from an existing sponsor, as are some of the others. So it's nice to know that it's working for them as well as working for me. And as far as I know, it's working for you because no one's getting any ads anymore, which is kind of cool. So that's that. Hopefully I have a little bit of a quieter week next week, and I can talk to you about ubiquity things as well. Thanks for watching.